Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Emma. Wonderful to have everyone as we hopefully will be inspired together learning the Parsha. The Shir is said, L'zecher Nishmas u'le'ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel, Be'ezus Hashem, their Neshama Tahiras, should have a lichtig Gan Eden. It's a privilege to be able to learn Parshas Emma together. It looks like, once again, it's one of those parashas where we're just going to focus on the beginning of the pasuk, or I should say the beginning of the parsha, and not really get much further than that. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, the opening of the parsha. Emor el ha-kohenim b'nei Aaron v'amarta aleihem. This is where the laws of a kohen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe to say to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron, many of the halachos that apply specifically and exclusively to a kohen, obviously, or maybe not so obviously, the very famous Rashi that people point out in the beginning of the parsha, the double usage of the word emar. Emar el kohanim v'amarta aleihem. And Rashi right away in the beginning wonders and points out that there's the same word, or at least with the same shoresh, which is emar to say, that's used twice. What's the double expression of the emar v'amarta? Who is saying to whom, and what is being apparently repeatedly said? This is, of course, the very beginning of Rashi, and Rashi tells us in the simple explanation, l'hazer gedolim ala ketanim. The double expression is to place responsibility upon the adults, ala ketanim, to warn the children about these laws specific to a kohen. It's as if we would say the first emor is, it's being told to the adult kohanim. The amart, it's your responsibility to now give it over to the next generation, to the young kohanim. Hence the double expression, emor v'amarta. One emor to the gedolim, and the second, lahazir gedolim, to remind and warn them, ala ketanim. Now you have to pass it on to the next generation. There are a number of pshatim that we could focus on. Certainly no shortage of pshatim, this concept of lahazir gedolim ala ketanim. I'd like to mention just a few and then speak about it in great detail. I remember thinking a number of years ago, and I saw it now brought down in some svarim as well, that the word lahazir, while we are translating it to place responsibility and to warn the adult kayanim, to tell it to the young kayanim, but the word lahazir is also from the word zayhar. Zayhar means to light up and to illuminate. When we speak about, especially now we're approaching Lag BaOmer, the Tana Elokai Rashbi of Shimon Bar Yochai and the Zohar. Zohar is from the word to light up. So Rashi might be teaching us when Rashi says, Emor v'amarta, there's a double expression, Lahazir gedolim ala ketanim. Here we could translate the word Lahazir to mean Zohar, light it up. The most important foundation in chinuch that a parent, a rebbe, an educator, really anyone has to know when trying to give it over to the next generation, to the youth, our youth, or maybe someone else's, or someone that we're looking to bring closer to Hashem, lahazir, light it up, light it up, make it vivacious, make it enthusiastic, make it exciting. We could never stress enough the importance of lahazir, from the word zayhar, to light it up, to make it exciting, alive, and vivacious. That's the chinuch 101 when we educate our children. If we're looking to bring someone else closer to Hashem, how about if we're looking to connect with maybe an unaffiliated yid? We're looking to show someone the beauty of Torah and its wisdom. The number one rule, Rabbi Isai, lahazir gedolim ala ketanim. light it up from the word Zayar, make it special, illuminate, vivacious, something that people will feel, ah, that's something I want a part of as well. Especially Lahazir Gedalim ala Ketanim when it comes to the youth and the next generation. How many times have we spoken, especially in today's society, when there's so much Chalila Rachmana Litzlan pulling and luring and trying from things that are not at all, to say the least, of Torah value. Trying to grab both in quantity and quality a young mind or a young personality, Chalila. So what can we do? Lahazir. Light it up and make it something that a person finds to be something of beauty, something that they would like to be a part of as well. Before we go on to a second pshat, and then I'd like to tie all of the pshatim together, I do want to point out that it says, Lahazir Gedalim ala Ketanim. Maybe it could mean something else as well. Until now, we've translated Gedalim to be the adult Kayanim, and Ketanim to mean the young Kayanim. Maybe it means something else as well. Sometimes when it comes to different mitzvahs, we who certainly do not understand the reason or the idea behind many of the mitzvahs or some of the mitzvahs, we may perceive something as a gadol. Oh, that's a big mitzvah that I understand. But there might be many mitzvahs that we might call, for lack of a better word, ketanim, a smaller mitzvah. I don't understand. Why does this shoe have to be tied before that shoe? I don't understand. What's the reason that I have to put this arm in this sleeve before the other? There are many things that we may not consider to be, because perhaps we don't understand with the full profundity what the meaning of different mitzvahs might be. So perhaps we're being told, Lahazir, when you light it up and you explain it and you give it over, you have to make sure that that's not only done for the gedolim, the things that one perceives as, oh, that's a great mitzvah. That's a big mitzvah. But ala ketanim, the ones that somebody might say, it's a small mitzvah. Does that really make such a big difference? Is that really such a big deal? We have to make sure that the lahazir, the lighting up, is not only by the gedolim, but by the ketanim, the thing that might be perceived as smaller or less understandable. Or really, that makes a difference? Specifically in those areas, make sure, lahazir, to light it up. Now let's go back to the double expression, emor v'amarta. This is something that if you take a look in Darash Moshe, Rav Moshe speaks about it. I also saw recently it's brought down from the Majid Sereb and Sefer Divrei Yisroel. The word emor, as opposed to the word daber, there's vayayman vayadaber. Vayadaber to speak is a lashon that's kosher, a harsher lashon. But vayomer emor v'amarta is a lashon rach, which is a softer type of expression. You see, we're being taught that when you're giving it over to someone else, when you're giving it over to your children, it doesn't just say the word emor once. It says the word emor twice. Emor v'amarta, to remind us, please, when giving it over to someone that you're trying to impact, to your child, to someone else's child, to an unaffiliated yid, remember, emor v'amarta, to give it over in a soft way, in a kind way, in a way that you show, I care about you. Hence the double expression, emor v'amarta. Reb Moshe, as I said a moment ago, speaks about it, that the kohanim are being instructed not only to keep the actual mitzvah, but they have to give over how special mitzvahs are, how fortunate we are to be able to perform them. Don't we say, Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu manoyim mayocha? It's something that's so beautiful, pleasant. Many times we've mentioned the pshat in Megillas Rus. I'll take a moment to mention it now once again, found in Sefer Shiras Halevi from a dear friend of mine, Reb Moshe Bamberger. He should live and be well, an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, who's written so many wonderful Sfarim. In fact, the series that you may have seen of large books, Great Jewish, letters, and there's a number to that volume. They're all from Rav Moshe Bamberger. He has a number of Svarim, Shiras HaLevi, and in Megillas Rus, he says a pshat. I think we pretty much have the custom, we say it every year. So why break tradition? Why break minhag? Why not say it quickly? I think it's one of the most phenomenal pshatim ever, certainly on Megillas Rus. If you take a look at the well-known story that takes place between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, Naomi and Rus, at one point Rus says to Naomi, wherever you go, Asher Telchi, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Now, what was it that Rus was responding to? What was it Naomi was saying to her? The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, because according to the interpretation that Rus had not yet converted, if somebody wants to convert, first you have to try to go ahead and dissuade them, to push them off. So what were the comments that Naomi was saying to her daughter-in-law, to which Rus was responding these very, very famous words in Megillas Rus? What was Naomi saying to her? The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Naomi was telling her daughter-in-law, there are laws called Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos means that there's a certain place that you can no longer walk. If you go outside the furthest part of the city, 2,000 amos, and you didn't set up the proper Eruv, you cannot go past that point. That's called Tchum Shabbos. To that, Rus responded, where you go, I will go. And then Naomi was teaching Rus about the laws of Yichud. Yichud, seclusion, that's unacceptable. If there is a married woman to go ahead and to seclude herself with a man, someone who's not her husband, the law is the Isser of Yichud. To that, Rus responded, where you lodge, where you sleep, Olin, I will as well. The Shiras HaLevi of Moshe Bamberger asked such a powerful question. That doesn't seem to be a correct answer to the question and comment that Naomi was saying. If you could imagine right now in front of us, Naomi and Rus, and Naomi turns to Rus and says, I want to tell you there's laws of Tchum Shabbos, places you cannot walk. What would have been an acceptable answer? Where I can't go, I won't. But she doesn't answer in the negative, Lashon Shlili. She says, okay, where I can, I will. But that's not what you were asked. That's not what you were told. You were told regarding Tchum Shabbos, there are places that you cannot go. So she should have correctly answered in the negative, so where I can't, I won't. Now, what about the second one, the laws of Yichud? There you're being told that there are places you can't go ahead and lodge or sleep or seclude yourself. So she should have said once again, where I can't, I won't. And yet that's not what she answered. She answered, so where I can, I will. But that's not what you were asked. Wouldn't it have been more appropriate and more correct, actually, linguistically, grammatically, to answer Beloshen Shlili in the negative? The Shiras HaLevi says my favorite answer. She was giving her mother-in-law Naomi a message, subliminally or not so subliminally. I know that when I answer your questions where you're trying to push me off and dissuade me, I should answer in the negative. To Tchum Shabbos, I should say, where I can't go, I won't go. Into this Rav Yichud, I should say, where I can't lodge, I won't. But you know why I'm not answering in the negative? Because I want you to know that if I could join the Jewish people, to me, Ashreinu, I know how fortunate I am. Ma toiv, ma yofe, ma noim, how good it is, how beautiful it is, how pleasant it is. I know that there are going to be challenges. I know that there might be things that are difficult, but I want you to know she's essentially telling Naomi, her mother-in-law, I'm not giving the answer, although it might be linguistically and grammatically more correct. I'm not giving it in the negative because I don't want you to think that I view joining Yiddishkeit and Judaism as a thing of pessimism, as a thing that's overbearing, as a thing of Lashon Shlili, a negative. I don't. I know there are difficulties. I know there are things I'll have to overcome. But I view it as something as Ashreinu, Ma Toiv, Ma Yofe, Ma Noim. So although it may have been more correct to answer in the negative, says the Shiras HaLevi, she deliberately didn't because she wanted to convey to her mother-in-law, if I can become part of Klal Yisrael, to me it means something that's alive, that's beautiful, that's vivacious. Challenging perhaps, but something that I want to attempt because I know how extraordinary and fortunate I indeed am. That is my favorite pshat. That's what's taking place in the beginning of Parshas Emor. Kehanim are being told the extraordinary halachos. Lehazir gidoylim ala ketanim. Lehazir, light it up. Light it up. Make it special, vivacious, elegant, something enthusiastic. Give it over with a bren, with a hislavos, with a passion, with a fire. Light it up. Ashreinu matoiv mayafat manoim. And by the way, everyone, perhaps on different levels, has the ability to convey the beauty in this fashion. When the Gedolim are speaking to the Ketanim, it's a must. As I told you from Reb Moshe, Emor v'amarta, you're not only being told to keep certain halachos, you have to remember how fortunate you are to be able to perform them, how special it is to be able to keep these mitzvahs. Might I add, while it's true that the parsha speaking to Kehanim, and you who are listening to the shir, and you've probably been waiting for me to say, whether you're listening in the Heichel, or whether you're listening now live on the phone, or whether you'll hear the recording when it's sent out, you may be wondering, I'm not a Kayin. I'm a Yisrael. So how essentially does all of this apply to me? Because we know the Torah says that Klal Yisrael is Mamleches Kayanim. We're a holy nation. We're an exalted people. It doesn't mean we're all going to get the first Ali and be able to be called up for Kayin. But in a way, we are Mamleches Kayanim, a kingdom of Kayanim. Each one must view themselves as a Kayin in the sense it's our job and obligation, Lahazir, to give it over. Emor v'amarta Kayanim, the big, the little, everything, Ashreinu. It's the reason, and at that point, by the way, when Ruth said what she said, Naomi turned and she stopped dissuading her. Naomi said, I'm not trying to dissuade you anymore. I see how extraordinary you are. What happened to Ruth when she became part of Klal Yisrael? She became the Eim HaMalchus, the mother of royalty for perpetuity. Will we become as great as Ruth? No. Can we tap into the positive enthusiasm? Absolutely we can, and we must. Because in that sense, we are all Kayanim. This past Shabbos, we had the privilege, if you were with us in shul, a number of times I had the schus to be able to welcome and introduce Yedid Nefesh of mine, Harav Avram Lefkowitz Shlita, a very choshev, a prominent Talmud Chacham, tremendous, tremendous pesach in halacha, a rav in Lakewood, a reish kollel in Lakewood, Harav Avram Lefkowitz, our families go back many, many years. Such a wonderful and beautiful person. He was actually in our shul this past Shabbos. He spoke to us Friday night. I introduced him to many people. It was a tremendous zechus. I could say lahazir, he really lit up and illuminated a beautiful Shabbos for us. If you were here, you certainly know what I'm referring to as a big schus that Harav Avram Lefkowitz Shlita from Lakewood, a dear Yedid Nefesh, was here for Shabbos. Friday night when he spoke so beautifully, he said over a vart, one of the finest divrei Torah you will ever hear. Harav Lefkowitz shared with us that if you take a look at the beginning of last week's parsha, which is Parshas Kedoshim, you have in the very beginning of the Parsha, Pasuk Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, that they start off very differently, but all three Psukim end exactly the same. Last week's Parsha, Kedoshim, the Pasuk says, we are told, Kedoshim to you, we should be holy, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I Hashem, your God, am holy. The next Pasuk tells us, we have to revere our parents, keep the Shabbos, and once again, those same last three words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then the third pasuk, we're told not to turn to idols, And then again, the same three words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why are those three words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God, repeated on all three occasions? So he said so beautifully. The first pasuk says, Kedoshim Tihyu. It's talking to one type of Jew, the one who's Kadosh. He's exalted, very, very special person. He has to remember, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, and of course I'm always there for you. The next pasuk, though, is speaking to a different type of Jew. This Jew is not Kedoshim Tihyu. He may not be the most exalted. Rather, it's someone, Ish Ima V'Aviv Tira'u. Yes, it's wonderful. He reveres his parents. Veshav Sasai Tishmeru. And he keeps Shabbos and observes the Shabbos, both of which, of course, are extraordinary, but perhaps beyond those two things. He's certainly not in the first category of Kedoshim Tihyu. That level Jew must also know the same word. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, and I am there for you. And then you have yet a third level, a far, far lower level, where a Yid has to be told, Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim. Don't turn to worshiping idols. You can imagine that third level is far, far lower than the two that I just mentioned. And yet the pasuk ends in the exact same way Hashem tells that Yid. So lovingly, I want you to remember. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem is said by all three psukim to remind us. No matter what level the person might be on, it might be the most exalted, the first type, Kedoshim Tihyu. It might be the lesser person who could say, I keep this and this, but nothing beyond that. It might even be the one who is on such a low level that they're being told, don't turn to worship idols. You can imagine what a low level that must be. Yet all three are told equally, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God, and I'm always there for every Yid on whatever level he or she might be on. Wow. It's a breathtaking pshat. And that has everything to do with Parshas Emor. Our job as Amalechas Koyanim is to remember not only for someone else but for ourselves. Lahazir, to make it special, to convey it as such, to give over those feelings. Sometimes we might be on the level of Kedoshim Tihyu, sometimes not. Sometimes we do extremely well, and sometimes we slip and make mistakes. All three level of Jews, be it Kedoshim Tihyu, the middle, or even the lowest level, all three are being told the same words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's not just reassuring, it's words to live by. There's a beautiful sefer that somebody just gave me. I'm actually holding it up. So in the Heichel, you could see Birkas Eliyahu. Such an extraordinary sefer. It's like one pshat after the other, one more beautiful than the next. You might recall that this past Shabbos, when we learned Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, I said something from the Sefer. As we begin concluding the shiur tonight, I'd like to share it with you as well. I realize that there have been a number of pshatim that we've already said tonight. Oh, it's the best. I think they use the expression GOAT, G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. If you could say that about the Dvar Torah, and yes, if you have many that you feel it about, Adarabah, good, good. How could this one be the greatest, and that one be the greatest, and this one be the greatest? They could all be the greatest. How have I, you should feel that way about all of them. He brings down a pshat that's from this past week, Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis. I have said it countless times since I saw it. I feel on Pirkei Avos that his mom is the most extraordinary pshat that we have ever said. Let's back up a moment ago. The pasuk told us about Aina's Dvarim, Loisoinu Isha Samisai. Of course, we know the ills and the devastation of Lashon Hara, Rechilus, Maisi Shemra, slander, things that are terrible. But in many ways, the worst is Einas Devarim. Einas Devarim is verbal abuse. You put somebody down. Einas Devarim leisoinu ishes amisai. Don't violate Einas Devarim. But it says leisoinu ish es amisai. And the word es we know is always, es is lerabois. Es is a riboy. Es comes to include something. The Chofetz Chaim. Zechusa Yagan Aleinu wonders, in this pasuk, where we're being told, don't violate Einas Devarim. Don't do that. If it's leisoinu ish es amisai, who is the S lerabois? Who does it include? Everyone and who? Who else? You know what the Chofetz Chaim says, whom else you can't violate with Einas Devarim? You know who the S is coming to Bemarben include? Yourself. Don't verbally abuse yourself. Don't be overly harsh and critical of yourself. Leisoinu isha samisa, the Chofetz Chaim says, you can't speak lashon hara, you can't speak negatively, you can't verbally abuse yourself. And if you think about how profound and extraordinary that is, we've mentioned countless times that one of the things that we need ourselves and we must instill in the next generation is a healthy dose of self-esteem. People spend extraordinary sums to help them with their self-esteem, to build themselves up so they realize how much they could accomplish. Leisoinu isha samisa es lerabbis atzma, yourself. Don't be speaking negatively and verbally abusing yourself. In other words, know your worth, know who you are. Of course, we don't mean at all in a haughty or boastful or arrogant way, but with a healthy dose of self-esteem. Know your worth, know your value. Don't violate Einas Devarim against you yourself. But you may wonder, I don't know, what type of Jew am I? I'm not that Kedosh Shemtihiyu. Am I that second category? Am I that sometimes Chalila the third category? Like, which group? We just mentioned this past week in Pirkei Avos, stay away from Aveira. The Sefer Birkas Eliyahu tells us that one of the reasons that a person commits an Aveira is they don't believe in themselves, they don't have any self-esteem, and if they don't believe in themselves, they don't think they have worth, they could easily commit an Aveira. So we are told a person has to contemplate a number of things. The first two were Ayin Raya and Oizen Shemas, and with this we'll conclude the shir. Ayin Raya means, remember that Hashem has an eye that sees. Oizen Shemas, he has an ear that hears. And if you remember that he has an eye that he watches you with, and an ear with which he listens to you, then that is something that should keep you away from Aveira. The Sefer Birkas Eliyahu asks the question, I have to tell you the truth. We've probably learned this Mishnah hundreds of times. I'm almost embarrassed I never had the question. Why does the Mishnah say it in the singular? Why does the Mishnah say it b'loshon yochid? Hashem has, when he looks and listens to you, ayin roye, oizen shemas. Why not the plural? Why not Lashon Rabim? Einayim? Oznayim? Now, obviously, we know Hashem does not literally have eyes or ears. It's not even a figurative expression. We know very often that we speak that way to help give us a better picture of something. But however you understand what it means that Hashem has eyes and ears, why does the Mishnah say it in the singular and not in the plural? Very often we speak about Hashem, Einayim and Oznayim, plural eyes and plural ears. Why singular Ayin Raya v'Oizen Shemas? I'm embarrassed. I never had that question. He says something mamish out of this world. If you were ever present when a diamond merchant, a diamond dealer, had to look at a diamond or an exquisite, priceless gem, everyone, bar none, what do? As you see me in the Heichal now. You close one eye, you squint with one eye, and you look with the other. Because when one is closed and only one is open, you focus far, far better with one than with two. And that's why if a person is looking at something extremely well or something priceless, something fabulous, something exquisite, one eye is closed and the other eye is open to help you focus and look and appreciate it far better. Similarly, I could show you here in the Heichal because you're looking at me. Imagine there are a lot of people talking in the Heichal right now. And you're right in front and talking to me, but I can't hear you so well, and I want to hear you better. What's the first thing that I do? I take my hand like this, and I go like this. You see what I'm doing? I put my hand behind one ear, and I move it forward like this, like this, like this. This is the way I hear you better. Why? Because when I focus with one ear, I'm able to hone in specifically on what you're telling me, and it means I'm able to hear you, and I value what you're saying, and I want to hear you to that greater degree. So when a person wants to see something exquisite, listen to what you're saying, one has greater focus and greater appreciation and greater attention when it's done with one eye or with one ear. We turn to every Yid in Klal Yisrael, whether you're on the level of Kedoshim Tihiyu or the lower level of Shabsaisai Tishmairu, or perhaps Chalila, the lowest level, whatever level he or she might be on, and we remind you, it's not in the plural. It's not in the plural. It's far better that it's in the singular. It's far better that it's Lashon Yochid, because Ayin Royeh, Oizen Shema'af, one eye that sees, one ear that hears, as we just spoke out, represents I'm focusing better on you. I'm paying more attention to you. Like that diamond dealer that wants to look at that priceless, exquisite gem. They will not see it perfectly with two eyes, but when they close one and look and focus better with one, because when you look at something exquisite and you want to see its value, look and listen with one. Every Yid must remember, when Hashem looks at he or she, whatever level we might be on at any given day, please, Rabbi, so hear the words coming out of my mouth. It's Ayin Raya and Oizen Shemas, specifically in the singular, to remind ourselves how much Hashem values us, appreciates us, how he views each and every one of us as a gem as we continue to polish ourselves in our sojourn throughout the world. And so as we learn Parshas Emor, let's remember Emor v'Amarta. L'hazir gedoylem al ketanim, light it up. Make it vivacious. Firstly, to ourselves. Then, to those ketanim and those in our family and those in our circles that we try to impact. And finally, to someone who might be unaffiliated or needs to be brought closer to Hashem, the tzarashava, the commonality between everyone, ourselves, our family, and anyone else, is lahazir. Let us in that schus be zoicha that by emulating the kayanim, amlechas kayanim v'goy kadosh, we won't just speak about it, but we're able to witness and be witness to the kayhanim performing the avoida in the bayis shlishi, b'mheira, b'yameinu, amen.